What's happening, friends? Welcome to Friday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
This is my favorite story, maybe of the week. A guy came in, took his girl on a date, spoiled her, expensive stuff, an entire array of appetizers. When the bill came, he's like, of course, I got all of it. The whole bill was $289. He tipped $100 on the bill, like almost a 40% tip. He's just really showing her, like, I'm your guy. I'm taking care of you. So not long after they left, he ran back in alone. He was like, oh, I forgot something. When he went back in, he was like, hey, I need to take my tip down. He said, I just want to do $20, which is only a 7% tip. They say he was a jerk about it, saying that, hey, man, you can't do this. You've already tipped. He's like, okay, I'll dispute it with my credit card company and get the whole thing canceled. Then I won't even pay for the meal. So the server wasn't happy. The server was like, yeah, you just did this because your girl was here, and now you're coming. So he walked out to the car where the girl was, followed him out, tapped on the window, and said, sir, if you'd like to reduce your tip, you have to re-sign a new receipt. When they all got out there,
got him.
The service of the date was stunned. And the guy was like, But what a loser, huh?
Total. Big time.
Like, what a losery dude that does that. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. And if you can't afford to tip your server for the right work, for the good work that they're doing.
Based on what you ordered.
Yeah. I mean, he spent $289.
Yeah, then don't order it.
Do you think when he tips that $100, he makes sure that she can see it?
Of course.
Like, yeah. Do you sign it and then, like, tilt it and turn it that way?
Or you just mumble, like, 100.
Oh, I didn't think about the mumble. That's a funny story. I'm glad that server went out. We didn't call it a server. We called it a waiter. When I was a waiter, I never had the courage to go out after cars. We had people that would go out. If someone stiffed them, they'd go and be like, hey, did you forget to tip me? I would, like, yell at them.
Yeah, that's gutsy.
And I'd be like, what are you doing? And they're like, trying to get my tip.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's a weird way.
And it would work sometimes where they would just give them whatever cash they had because I think they were stunned. It's just like, what's happening? Like, maybe they thought they were getting attacked by the waiter, but that would happen. We had one or two people that would do that. If they didn't get a tip that they thought was fair or get stiffed, they would go out and be like, hey, I think you forgot to write the tip. Sometimes they'd be nice about it and be like, hey, excuse me, sir, I'm sorry to bother you. You forgot to put the tip here on the receipt. Not me. I would just be like, well, chalk that one up. This is not going to be a good night. I'm about to read an email here, but before I do, are you familiar with OnlyFans?
Yes. Yeah.
Why are you laughing, Lunchbox?
That's a funny website.
Well, it's a place you go and you subscribe and, like, women send, like, pictures and stuff. It's not something you'd...
I've never been on there.
Yeah, me either.
I only have read about it.
Right. Okay, I just want to make sure before we got into it.
I don't Google it. It's just articles come up.
You pay, you subscribe, and they send you, like, naked pics or... I'm not sure. So I
hear. Videos.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
He knows all about it.
This isn't a dirty email. I just want to make sure you knew what it was.
Yeah, because other things can go down on this site.
Can they? I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, what are you about to say?
I'm about to read you an email. Okay. All right, here we go. Let's open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. I recently discovered that my husband has an OnlyFans account where he pays a somewhat significant amount of money to subscribe to a number of women's accounts. Mm-mm. He has had his account for over 2 years. I've never known about it. We have separate bank accounts. We have been married for 8 years, and we have always had a strong relationship. When I confronted him, he immediately apologized numerous times, said it was stupid, and that he wasn't thinking, and promptly deleted his account. He also said he would never use it again. I just can't help but feel hurt and insecure about this. This website is so personal with real women and opens the door for one-on-one interactions. He said he has not direct messaged anyone. I believe him. But it just makes me wonder if this was hidden from me for over 2 years, could there be something else he is hiding? Do you have any advice on how we can move past this? Just a side note, I was not snooping or intentionally trying to find this info. I simply stumbled upon it when I hopped on his computer to do something quick for work. Sincerely, Anonymous. Well, let us first say this stinks, and I feel pain for you that you found this. Mm-hmm. I also would go, I wonder what else he's been up to. I don't think this means he's been cheating on you. I don't think it means it doesn't. But I don't think this is an absolute indication of him not being honest with the relationship. Some people, caveman man, would think, I'm never going to meet them. I'm just looking at pictures. This is no harm, no foul. I'm not saying they're right, but some guys do feel that way. Where I think the trust is that he was hiding it, right? Anytime you have to hide something, there's something you don't want known. Why do you want to know? Because you may get in trouble. You may be told no. Why? That's the issue, right? That he wasn't being honest about that. He was hiding it.
What was he supposed to do? Go to her and be like, hey, I think I'm signing up for OnlyFans. You cool with
and
that?
And he didn't because he knew she would say no.
Yeah, I know.
So the question is, you know, what can we do? Do you have any advice on how we can move past this? Man, I hate when people tell me, you know what one of the keys of relationships is? Communication. Yeah, no duh. Yeah, no duh. But this is where it really comes into play, where you kind of got to lay it all out there. And if possible, like if you have the means to have someone else with you, like some sort of counselor.
A third party.
Just a third party, period, that isn't on one side or the other, because feelings are going to get hurt and you kind of need someone to pull it back to the middle all the time, especially in a situation like this. Give him the opportunity to explain himself. You're not going to like it. If he's honest, it's not going to be a good explanation. If you believe him, great. And you can actually, maybe it can bring you guys better and closer together. Maybe there was something lacking in the relationship anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
And this is that allows the communication to happen where you can find that. He was wrong. He's not getting something. And it was on him to tell you what it was he wasn't getting. But he didn't do that. And he chose this way. My advice to you is the following. Find a third party. Have it out. Fight, cry, yell. Have feelings. Be honest. Figure out why it's happening. And create a plan to get out of there. It's not going to be done in a day or a month. Sounds like you love each other. He didn't cheat on you, as far as I know. Me hearing he did this isn't me hearing I for sure cheated. Unless you consider cheating. I don't know if he won a 1DM. He said he didn't, so I'm just going to go with that. But that's what I would say.
So if you don't want on 1DM, you just scroll through the site?
I don't know!
No.
Lunchbox?
You subscribe to a certain person, and whenever they put up a new video, you get alert, and you go watch the video. That's it.
Are they just, like, talking to you?
How do you know this?
It's not talking to you. Mostly it's not talking. It's not talking, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't. Okay.
It's,
Okay. I saw a headline for OnlyFans. I think it was OnlyFans. Was there a woman trying to pay to film her birth for OnlyFans?
Yep.
Okay, so maybe...
But I think it was for, you know, different reasons.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Madison.
Well, okay.
That's my answer here. Good for you for finding it, confronting him. Good for him for being honest about it. Not good for him for the other stuff. Figure a way out. You'll be stronger afterward if you both still want to be in the relationship.
Yeah, but we highly recommend, yes, like Bobby said, if you have the means, maybe a professional is the third party. If not, do you have another type of person in your life that could be a third party for you, or maybe figure it out because it could be worth the investment.
For sure.
It's your relationship.
For sure. Okay. This has been another edition of the Heavy Mailbag.
Let's move on. Lunchbox is Googling OnlyFans over here. So.
Well, he doesn't need to Google. He knows every part of it.
Yeah, I do know. I didn't realize they had pay-per-view options where you could just buy like
on
buy
your
one
TV?
Time.
Oh, one time.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought it was just subscription-based, but you can do a pay-per-view like it's...
No, on your computer, Meemaw, not just TV.
Yeah.
Your phone.
Wherever you want it.
On your TV! All right, that's the mailbag.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Morgan, how do people email us?
Mailbag@BobbyBones.com.
On the phone right now is my guy, Mike D. Not the Mike D that works on this show, but the Mike D that is in the first episode of Breaking Bobby Bones. Mike D, how are you?
Hey, it's going great, Bobby. How you been, brother?
I've been good. Did you see the tease of you on the first episode?
I did not see the tease. The last time, the only thing I saw was when we were on the panel, and I heard about the tease. They let me know. I totally missed it, man, but I heard it was great.
Yeah, have you seen the episode at all?
Yeah, well, they sent me what they showed, whatever they showed the press and the rest of the panel. Remember, it just happened to be our show.
Dang.
So I'm assuming it was the whole thing, but it was awesome.
How did you feel about getting that first episode nod? Like, we had 16 episodes to pick from, and they said Mike D is episode number one.
All right, man. Super excited. You know, the whole experience was amazing, man, from the beginning to end. So just to top it off with the very first show, you can't say enough, dude. It's really awesome.
Would you tell our listeners, and you can be honest about this, how scared I was to actually go hang out over the Grand Canyon on a rope?
And you know what, man? I've been asking a few things, what I most remember about the whole episode, and I can definitely say it was your fear. it was definitely real. No faking with that at no point at all. But it was definitely something that we overcame together, and you did amazing, dude. But watching you on the side of that cliff, that leg shaking, that was the one thing that I won't forget.
How did you get into rope access? Meaning, I didn't even know what that was until I met you, where, you know, you're building these rope rigs, you're climbing places that people normally aren't able to get to. How did you get, you know, exposed to this industry?
To be honest with you, I fell right into it. I used to drive a dump truck for a little while, and things got bad. I lost my job, and just through a friend, I was hired on with Absalom, my company that I work for now and since the beginning. And that's how I found it. I thought it was just a job for me to go hang off a building and clean a couple windows. And here, lo and behold, it was a whole career path laid out right in front of me. And I fell in love with rope access right from the get-go. And here I am 14 years later, you know, teaching folks to do what I do and then being on awesome TV shows with people like yourself.
You told me that usually for someone to go and do what we did, they needed more training than what I got. I had to do kind of a crash course, right?
Yeah. That's putting it in some easy terms, man. You had a hell of a crash course.
Were you scared for me? Did you think there was any chance I would die? Be honest.
Not necessarily that you would die, but there was a couple of times I was ready to pull the plug, my friend. Doing what we do is extremely safe, but it does require a lot of training. And, you know, when I first saw you get on that rope and start flopping around like a fish out of water, I definitely had my thoughts about maybe just pulling the plug altogether.
Because they told you if it didn't seem safe or I didn't seem ready to just go, nope, you're not going to do it, right?
Yeah, they definitely did. And, of course, you know, with rope access being that safety is priority number one, that definitely was a concern, man. But you did amazing. You took right to it. And by the end of it, the only thing we had to shake off were those nerves.
Yeah, those nerves are still there. I watch it and I still get anxiety thinking about when you were out there in the middle going, come on, Bobby, you can do it. And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm going to sit right here on the ground and not. And there's one point, too, where we're up there and I'm having to clean the bottom of the sky bridge. Remember, I'm on a rope 4,000 feet over. And he goes, hey, look down at your bucket because you need to get the squeegee out to clean. And I'm like, I'm not looking down. Like, I'm going to keep looking up and stick my hand and try to find the bucket because I didn't want to look down.
That's crazy that you remember that, Bobby, because that's actually a story that I tell folks when we're talking about the show. I go, man, he was so scared, he wouldn't even look down at his bucket. That kind of coaxed him into it. But you know what? You found the water. It was down there. It was in the bucket, and you finally found it.
That's my guy, Mike D. He is on episode one, the Grand Canyon Cliffhanger, Breaking Bobby Bones. You're going to love his story. You're going to be inspired by the guy. You know, he had some adversity hit him early in life, and he did not let that adversity define him. And here he is now, and we hung 4,000 feet over the Grand Canyon together, and you can watch that. Mike D, it is a real treat to talk to you again. I cannot wait to watch this episode with everybody else, and thank you for your time.
Outstanding, Bobby. Thank you for everything, man. And remember, man, fight, grind, repeat.
That's right. There he is. Mike D, everybody. Remember, Breaking Bobby Bones premieres with back-to-back episodes on Memorial Day, May 31st, 10/9 Central, on National Geographic.
Bobby Bones Show.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Our iHeart Awards were last night. Maren Morris took home Country Song of the Year for The Bones, and Luke Combs took home Album of the Year. You can see the full list of country winners at bobbybones.com. Some new projects out today. Ashley McBride released a new EP called Never Will, Live from a Distance. Here's one of the songs called Voodoo Doll.
Those lips on her neck, needle in my chest. Oh, she's making my skin crawl. You've got yourself a voodoo doll.
Chase Rice released the album with both part one and part two. Here is one of the songs called The Nights.
But it gets me through the nights. Gets me through the days, gets me through the memories I can't escape. Gets me to the light, gets me through the pain. Cause if I can't get to you, what's the point anyway? Might run me off the tracks, might drown me in the waves. Might make me lose my mind, might send me to the grave. But it gets me through the nights, gets me through the days. Gets me through the memories I can't escape.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news
with Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Albino Hernandez is a custodian for Eanes ISD down in Austin, Texas, and he's been in the hospital the last 9 months battling COVID. He's been on life support, dialysis, didn't think he was going to make it. Well, 9 months later, he heads home, and they wanted to welcome him home in style, so the school district got all the kids, got him in cars, and they drove by his house with a parade. Boop, boop, boop! We love you, Albino! Boop, boop, boop! And they had a parade for him and said, welcome home, man!
That's awesome. Then he just gets to go home is awesome.
Yeah.
And the parade, I bet he felt really special. That's a great story. And then boop, boop, boop.
All that.
Yeah, wow. That's a lot. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
With a record of 2-0, it's Fun Fact Amy. There she
That's
is.
Right.
She's ready. Wikipedia again today. No one's beat her yet. They may. But let's see if it's today. Seth is on. Seth is the first caller that's ever called and challenged Amy. Now, you've had a lot of time to gather your most five fun facts. By the way, at what point did you go, I'm better at that than Amy is? Just listen to the radio one day or what?
Yeah, well, I mean, I listen to your show all the time. And so I was waiting for Amy to jump into the Fun Fact Friday off. But it was really when Ray and Amy went last Friday and Amy just pretty much swept her. I mean, I know you gave Ray the last one, but I was like, I can at least put up a better fight than Ray.
Okay, so Seth has called
I'm sure you can.
From the comfort of his own home to take on Amy in Fun Fact Friday. So you will each get five fun facts to share. We'll count all the way down to one. We'll award you a point after each one. So me, Eddie, and Lunchbox will be the judges today. Are we ready? Hit it.
Fun Fact Friday. Yay!
All right, here we go. We're going to hit number five, and Amy will go first since she is the home team, the returning champion. Let's go.
Number five.
Okay, my boy Abraham Lincoln, he was assassinated the same day he created the Secret Service, which is a little ironic. It was April 14th, 1865, and he just signed it over, creating the U.S. Secret Service. And then that evening, he was shot at Ford's Theater.
Wow. They didn't go to work right away?
No.
Like when you create it, you should have a couple guys ready to go.
No, you put something into legislation, and then it has to get put into motion.
How did that not make Alanis ironic? Like, maybe the most ironic thing of all.
The song?
It's like, Reagan. Yeah.
It's like Lincoln getting shot.
On the day made a Secret Service.
I mean, that works, guys.
Yeah, you almost. Done that. All right, Seth, you're up now. What's your first fun fact here?
All right, so Lyndon B. Johnson, who was the 36th president of the United States, owned a car that could also be driven through the water. And so it was manufactured in the 60s. It was called the Amphicar. And when he first got it, his advisors and friends didn't really know what it was. So Lyndon would take them out on joyrides to show them his new car. He'd start driving toward a lake and then start panicking like his brakes had failed and plow into the water, and his boat would just continue on, or his car would just continue on like a boat. And so he was just playing pranks on people while he was president with his car that was also a boat.
That's great.
Oddly, there were two presidents.
I know. Did you go president because I went president?
No, I went president because that's my worst one.
Oh! That's your worst one? Okay,
pants. Eddie, which one? Fun Fact Friday.
Seth came in strong. I love that LBJ one, but Amy, I'm going to have to give it to the champ. The whole Secret Service, the day you got shot for Lincoln, that's big time.
Lunchbox?
Oh, driving on water? Just imagine being in that car going, and then it just keeps working? That's amazing.
I think if it were a president more famous than Lyndon B. Johnson, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's sure.
LBJ not famous?
Yeah, he is. But think about it versus Abraham Lincoln.
No. Abraham Lincoln's like a big dog, for sure.
It's tough, because that one's like makes you smile, but the Lincoln one just blows your mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Lincoln.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Lincoln. It's close. But can you picture LBJ's look in your head right now?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, you can't? Yeah, You're from Texas, though.
I'm from Texas.
No. Yeah, that's probably why, because I'm from Texas.
Morgan, can you picture LBJ in your head?
No, I don't know what he looks like.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going with Abraham Lincoln, and that's 1 point, Amy. All right, next one.
Number four.
Amy, you're up.
Psychopaths are often immune to contagious yawning due to lack of empathy. So you see someone else yawn, you likely yawn, but psychopaths don't because they're not feeling what you're feeling at all. They're also less likely to ever be startled by anything.
So psychopaths don't yawn?
Yeah, because the yawn, like it's a reflex of like you see that person yawn.
What if they get tired?
listen, they yawn, but they don't yawn as a reaction to someone else yawning.
Got it. Because they don't feel another person. That's weird.
Yes.
Just make sure you yawn every time somebody else yawns.
Right. Now I don't even have to. Like,
even if you don't have to yawn, yawn, because you don't want people to know.
Interesting. All right, Seth, you're up.
All right. So in Britain, before alarm clocks became the norm, which was in the 70s, there were people called knocker-uppers that would run around to their clients' houses with sticks and hammers and rattles, knocking on their windows to wake them up before work. And so, yes, these knocker-uppers were just the thing until the 70s.
The question that I always had about knocker-uppers was, who wakes up the knocker-uppers?
Right.
And if they oversleep, everybody oversleeps.
Everyone's in trouble.
Yeah. Okay. So we have Amy and Psycho Killers and Seth and Knocker Uppers. Lunchbox, which one's more fun?
Man, I like Amy's, but then the Knocker Uppers just because it's called a Knocker Upper. I mean, that sounds so fun. I was a Knocker Upper. That's good.
Eddie?
Never heard of the Knocker Upper. I like that story. I'm going to give this one to Seth.
I'd heard this one a bunch, so I'm going to give it to Amy because I heard Knocker Upper. That I even showed it. When he was talking about it, I showed Eddie. I was like, this is what they do.
I got you on camera.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
But okay, there you go. It's 1-1. Amy won, Seth won. Next up.
Number 3.
Seth, you're first.
All right, so in the UK, in a small town called Hartlepool, in 2002, they elected their town's soccer mascot, which was a big monkey, mayor. So the two political parties in the town were arguing, there's a lot of drama. So the citizens got together and all decided to just write in the name of this monkey, Hengist, for mayor. And the guy who wore the monkey suit to the games actually took office and did such a good job that he was reelected for two more terms.
As Hengist or as himself?
As Hengist. Well, as himself. Yeah. But he still played Hengist.
Okay. All right. All right. Amy, you're up.
Well, in 2020, the Vatican censored a video of Pope Francis saying that whiskey was the real holy water.
Yeah. That's funny.
Really?
Yeah, really.
They like took it off the internet, scrubbed it, whatever.
They censored it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't say that.
All right.
Yeah. No.
Okay, so we have the monkey, monkey mayor, or the Pope saying whiskey is the real holy water. I'll go first. I'm going to go with the Pope being censored. Eddie?
Yeah, I still don't really understand Seth, so I'm going to go Amy win the Pope.
Lunchbox?
As a Catholic, I got to go with the Pope.
All right, Amy up 2-1. Next one up.
Number 2.
Amy?
So in 1913, well, actually up until 1913, you could ship children by mail.
Wow.
Legally.
You could mail kids?
Yeah, and in 1913, they changed it, but here's a bunch of postmen walking around with children. They would ship them by mail.
Huh. How do we feel about that?
Like, if you need to go visit a friend. No, I don't think it was a bad thing.
You don't have to like put them in a box and wrap them. Okay. They just carry them over there for you.
Yeah, okay. It was like, oh, you're going to go deliver mail to my so-and-so wherever. Here,
take the baby.
Take this. And you probably had to pay a fee, and the mailman would deliver the child.
Okay, Seth, you're up.
Okay, so in Spain, there's a Christmas tradition that involves a character called Cagatillo, which in English is pooping log, which poops out candy for the children. So it's a log with a face painted on him, and you know how we leave cookies out for Santa at night and he eats them? Well, the kids will leave out food scraps for Cagatillo, and he'll eat them overnight. And they do this through the month of December, and then on Christmas Eve, they gather the family around. They put a blanket on the back end of Cagatillo. They smack him, and he poops out this candy called Turon. And as a bonus fun fact, they even have a song that they sing during this. And it goes, poop log, log of Christmas. Don't poop salted herring. They are too salty. Poop Turons. They are much better.
Okay.
You just said poop. Lunchbox started laughing. Like, yeah. You knew your audience here with one of the three.
10-year-old over here.
Lunchbox?
I mean, that is hilarious that they have a poop thing. That's a poop. You got to give it to him for poop.
Eddie?
I mean, I don't think it's that funny, but I do like Cagatillo. Give it to him.
You know Cagatillo?
No, I never heard of him. No. Give it to Seth, though. I like it.
Are y'all serious right now?
Oh, it's a poop log? This
is
great.
Come on, Amy. It's hilarious.
Yeah, if it makes you feel better, I give it to the poop log, too.
What?
We're all tied up.
Oh, my gosh.
We're all tied up. All right, here we go. Last one.
Number one.
By the way, all of Seth's are foreign.
Yes.
He's like, all right, in Brazil. Next up, in Yugoslavia. All right, Seth, the last one.
This one. All right, so in 1998, we all know the band Blink-182, right?
We do.
They incorporated their band under the name Poo Poo Butt LLC because they thought it would be funny for their accountants, managers, and lawyers to use the name in important meetings every day.
Okay, poo-poo, but Lunchbox is cracking up.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Okay, and Amy, finally for you, your last fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I have something about poop. I know I can get some points here. Pablo Picasso kept a gun loaded with blanks, which he used to shoot at people who questioned the meanings of his paintings.
Hey, I love that.
What a weirdo.
That's funny.
But did he poop on him?
I know. I should have said he kept a gun loaded with poop.
Lunchbox.
Oh, man, guys. Imagine sitting in a meeting. We're here to talk about Poo Poo Incorporated. That's hilarious. But I'll give it to Amy.
I'm shocked right now.
Eddie?
I mean, Seth went a little too much on the poop.
He did.
I love Amy. I love the gun. You don't like my painting? Pop! That's funny.
Same. Seth, you relied too much on the poop. Amy is now 3-0. Fun Fact Friday. Seth, you didn't win. What would you like to say?
I'll take it.
You did a great job.
That's all I've got to say. Hey, thank you. It was fun.
All right, Seth, we appreciate you. If you would have won, hey, Eddie, tell him what he would have won had he won.
Oh, Seth would have won a brand new car. But he didn't.
Dang. How much money would he want too, Lunchbox?
$1 million.
Wow.
So close.
But he didn't. Wow. Yeah. All right, Seth. And a trip to where, Morgan? Where would the trip would have been?
A trip to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh! That's all you can come up with.
I thought you were going to say Kansas.
I thought you were going to say Wichita.
All right, Seth, you wouldn't really want any of that. But all right, hey, Seth, appreciate you, buddy. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks. You guys too.
All right, there he is. Caller Seth from Texas. Woo. And Amy wins again. The number one thing we get calls about right now is Eddie's walk from West Virginia to Tennessee. We said if we can raise $10,000 for a charity Eddie works with, because Eddie's a foster parent, he'll do it. And he raised $50,000. Some listeners are saying you should do it 5 times. But
that's crazy.
Nobody said
that. Let's start.
I just said that.
Okay,
good. Here on the phone now, though, people want to talk about that. This is Tony in Austin. Tony, you're on with Eddie. What's going on?
Hey, Eddie. Man, I just wanted to let you know you need to prepare to make this walk. I used to be what's called a water spider for Amazon. And I did around 25,000 steps a day, which is about 18 miles. Oof. And you're going to need to prep your feet for this. You're literally getting ready to walk 4 marathons in a row.
Wow. Good point.
So what does he need to do?
First of all, you need to get on a treadmill, put the incline on about 3, and walk at least 5 miles a day at an incline to get your feet used to working. The other thing you might want to do is, I think they're called moleskins. It's things that women wear on their feet when they're doing high heels to get from blisters. I had to wear those when I was working to keep my skin from tearing.
Hmm.
So your lower legs need to get used to it. Your feet need to get used to it. You know, I'm sure your feet are nice and soft from sitting in an office chair all day.
Oh, burn!
Is that shots fired right
burn.
There?
Burn!
Got him!
You know, and I'm not trying to make fun of you. I'm just saying that you're not acclimated to this, and that 100-mile walk is going to eat your lunch if you don't prep for this.
So, question: Can I prep in a month? Is that enough time to prep for this?
Yeah, and it should take about 2 weeks if you walk at least 5 miles a day every single day at an incline. It'll get your feet acclimated to walking longer distances.
I like
it. The closer you get to it, the longer you need to walk. And your speed needs to be at about 3.3 miles an hour on the treadmill.
Tony, what happened here is Eddie always has a smile on his face. You start telling this story, that smile, it dropped. It was concerned.
I was listening. It was very concerned. Carefully.
All right, Tony, appreciate that. Thank you for calling and sharing your wisdom.
Hey, not a problem, guys. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too. I mean, that's for real.
Yeah, no, he's being real, and I like that.
But will you do it?
What, the training?
The 5 miles a day
Absolutely.
Walking?
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely.
100%. I mean, look. I've already done it, guys. I've already walked 5 miles this weekend, and then, you know, the other day, Bones and I played golf. I walked the golf course. Like, I'm training right now. I'm in training mode.
Do you have a treadmill?
I know, but I have I'm a member at the Y.
Okay.
So I'm going to go there every day.
Hey, sure you are. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So, Bobby, I know you've always been weirded out by the fact that we've blown out candles on a cake and everyone's spit just goes everywhere and then we all eat it like it's normal.
I've hated it for years. I'm not a pandemic guy who comes along and hates it then. Like, right. I've always thought that was weird. And somebody goes, all over a cake, rains down every germ they possibly have in their mouth, and then we just eat up
Yeah, it never bothered me at all until, of course, I'm probably more in line with the pandemic, but a dad has invented a way to handle this. He invented Blow Z, and it's pretty much this little thing that you blow into and as a fan at the end of it. So you're still getting to blow, but you just aim the fan down towards the candles, but you go into the little tube thing. So there you go. Spit doesn't get all over the cake, but you still get to blow out the candles.
You basically blow the fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the air comes out the bottom of it so it doesn't go frontwards towards the cake.
Is it affordable, though?
Like- it's $9. I'm glad you asked, Eddie. Yeah, you can go to theblowz.com for $9.99.
I'm not paying $9 for a fan.
That was my point.
But it is not affordable for what you need it for.
One use only, really.
No.
But then you get to use it 3 times a year.
Like 3 times a year.
No way. I'm spending my money on that.
Okay, well, I guess it's not. Sorry, I thought it was more affordable than that. Well, McDonald's is doing something good too, or clever, to try to get employees. They have a worker shortage right now, and they're offering free new iPhones to anybody that gets a job. So McDonald's is hiring, and you might get an iPhone in case you're looking for a job.
After 6 months employment and meet employment criteria.
That's cool.
Because I started thinking, I'll just go get me a little job today, get me a new iPhone, walk out of there. But no, you have to be there for 6 months.
Yeah, well, in Florida, I saw that a McDonald's recently gave out $50 simply for coming in to interview. So, I mean, that's a way to get $50.
That's how Lunchbox do that bit where he puts on a different costume.
Oh, yeah.
Like disguise.
I'd have been rich.
He didn't have been trying for 6 jobs. Hello, my friend. I am from the country of... All right, what else?
So when you perform live somewhere, which is, I guess it's been a minute, what's typically on your rider?
Lots of lemons and limes. What else do I put on there, Eddie? Bars?
Yeah, protein bars.
Protein. Really healthy.
Red Sox.
Red Sox. Yeah, long Red Sox. I guess that's the only weird thing, but sometimes I get to shows and don't have socks. I forget socks. Nothing crazy. Why?
Well, Kelsey Ballerini recently posted a video, and she had everything laid out. She was backstage. This is what was on her rider. She had yogurt-covered pretzels, chips and salsa, chickpea puffs, bananas, chewing gum, and a bottle of wine. She said she typically likes to hit these 4 things. Spicy, healthy, chewy, and wine. And she's going to be hosting or co-hosting the CMT Music Awards along Kane Brown on June 9th. So just a reminder about that.
Yeah, mostly I try to keep it healthy because I know if I don't keep it healthy, then I will eat it. I do get Eddie a 6-pack of some sort of craft beer.
Local craft beer.
Yeah. But Eddie doesn't really drink that much anymore.
No, I really don't. So not the way I used to.
He just sits there.
So Eddie piggybacks off of your rider, so you add that onto yours, like Eddie doesn't get his own?
No. I do the whole contract.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
It's
all one thing. So yeah, I put what Eddie wants on there too.
Cool.
All right. Amy's trying to break up our
band. Divide us.
She's like,
yeah. Why don't I get my own rider?
How come Eddie doesn't get his own?
Good point, Amy.
Have you ever asked that?
It's one contract.
I'm just kidding.
All right.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Oh. It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So this girl, Allie Hall, was gearing up for her big day, her wedding, and her grandfather has been in and out of the hospital for years now, and he happened to find himself back in the hospital around her wedding. And she was like, man, this is just something he always wanted to be a part of, and he wanted to see me get married. So about a week before her wedding, she had her friend do her hair, her makeup. She put on her wedding gown just as she was going to look on her big day, and she went to the hospital and shared that moment with her grandfather.
Yeah, I bet that was emotional.
Yeah. So I'm glad they had that time. And shout out to Allie for thinking that and her friend for helping her get all ready. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, hey, I'm just going to show you my dress. Like, she really went all out.
The experience a bit.
Yeah.
Dang. It makes me a little emotional. Wish I could put on a dress and go see my grandfather.
What?
I don't have a dress and he's not alive.
Yeah, you don't have a dress.
Or a grandfather.
Oh, boy.
I know, but I'm just going to, like, focus on the dress.
Yeah. All right. That's a great story. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Moments away from the morning corny, but Raymundo says he's got some gossip on some country stars.
Yes.
What do you have here? One, two, what do you have?
We got two of them.
And what do we call this?
Blind items, but it's a segment title. Here you go. Okay.
Raymundo's Country Music Secrets.
Okay, country music secrets. Give me number one.
Yeah, so there's this artist. It's an A-lister, a country artist that lives in Nashville, and it's widely known that they don't ever let cell phones around them, to the point that anybody that's gone over to their house, it doesn't matter if it's management, friends, family, every person has to drop their cell phone in a basket before they even get to really enter the house. Regardless of the hour, if the party's winding down still, there's somebody there, a security guard, takes the phones, basket, immediately when you're in the front door.
Do you know who it is?
I have no idea, but how does Ray know this?
That's a good question. How do you know this country music secret?
Yeah, I'm pretty well connected, but also... Okay.
I don't think you are, but okay.
I know a tour manager. She's managed for a lot of different artists, so she's in the know.
There's a country artist, A-lister.
Yeah.
But A-lister, there's only a few A-listers.
Number one songs.
Yeah, but
well,
I-
obviously, if you're A-lister, I would assume you have number ones.
But there's like maybe 10 A-listers right now.
Then it's one of them 10.
Do you believe it?
Okay.
I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing stuff. I don't know. It sounds like it'd be a single dude, though. Like, that's the kind of guy that would... I don't know. Will you tell me off the air?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you all these off the air.
Okay.
And then I have another little thing here.
What?
We'll play the, all right, the jingle again.
Raymundo's Country Music Secret.
Go ahead.
So this one's just been blowing up on Reddit. Apparently, there's an A-list country artist, the couple, they're getting a divorce in the next couple months, and some things to kind of help you figure out who it is.
Well, don't say too...
No, I won't.
Okay.
They have number one songs.
They? Together?
Well, he it's a male.
Okay.
He has number one songs, and they've recently been married in the last... 3 years. And I've narrowed it down to about five. And it's definitely one of them five. But they said, expected this summer, major divorce. It's known, again, in the industry that the couple fights all the time. Cats and dogs, they don't get along. They'll be taking cell phone calls, yelling at each other. So it's taken a while, but finally they're going to get a divorce. But this summer.
Okay, there it is. Country Music Secrets.
Huh.
So a couple that's been married within the last 3 years... And you have five?
A-listers.
Five A-listers that have been married in the last
years. Yes. I mean, I can name them right now.
Well, yeah.
All right, Mundo, thank you for your secrets.
Let me think.
That was Raymundo's Country Music Secrets.
I don't even know where to start because what's going to happen is I'm going to think of somebody and go, oh, this has got to be it. And he's going to tell me and I'm going to go, that's not an A-lister.
Uh-huh.
I'll check with you off the air.
All right.
All right. Let's go over to Amy and get in the morning corny.
The morning corny.
What do you call a polar bear in the jungle?
What do you call a polar bear in the jungle?
Lost.
You just call him lost. The polar bear.
It's lost. Oh.
That was the morning corny.
I'm extremely anxious because on Monday night, which is Memorial Day, which we won't be live on the air Monday, so I can't really promote the show, so this is it for me. But Monday night, 10, 9 Central, my new show on Nat Geo premieres. It's called Breaking Bobby Bones. Please watch it. Please DVR it. Please. I just am so nervous about it. Adam is on, who I sent the show early. I sent it to him on Instagram like a week ago. And I was like, here you go, man. Watch it. Tell me what you think. Adam, do I have a reason to be nervous about this show?
No, man, you don't. You don't, man. It was so good.
The first episode, because we're doing two episodes on Monday night. The first episode is me hanging over the Grand Canyon. What are your thoughts on that episode? What were you feeling as you're watching it?
So, honestly, man, I was shaking, too, because I'm a big guy. I'm about 6'5", and I'm afraid of heights as well. So I definitely felt for you. I was nervous for you, too. And even towards the end, man, it got a big guy like me tugged the heartstrings a little bit. There was a couple tears. So, man, it was a great show.
You're 6'5"? Like, what is life like for a guy 6'5"? I bet that's the greatest life.
Man, it's good, but, you know, the grass is always greener.
But 6'5", like, everyone wants a big dude. Everybody wants a six. Like, you see all these memes about girls like, oh, you know, so he has all these red flags, all these issues, but is he 6'1"? Is he 6'2"? Like, are you an athlete at all, Adam?
Yeah, I actually throw the shot put for the University of Memphis.
Of course he's an athlete. This is my dream here to be 6'5 and throw a shot put in Memphis. Dang. The second episode that's airing on Monday is me at running big tear-up machines. It's a bit different than the first episode. What'd you think about that one, Adam?
Yeah, man, so a bit different. It wasn't like a fear factor kind of thing, but it was super cool with big machinery. I don't know, I got kind of like a undercover boss vibe a little bit. And, man, towards the end again, pulling on the heartstrings. I think that's what made it like such a good show for me.
Do you cry at movies and stuff, Adam? Cause I mean, I liked it. His heartstrings. I hope when he tells his friends, they're like, how'd that call go with Bobby Bones? Well, he tugged him hard strings. Are you an emotional guy?
Sometimes. I feel like movies with dogs get me.
Well, movies with dogs get me, too. You ever seen My Dog Skip?
I have seen Skip.
I'm being told you're currently in Jacksonville for a track meet?
Yeah. We've got the first round of NCAA Nationals here.
So. Come on!
Wow, let's go!
I've never been so invested in the Memphis shot put team.
The Tigers?
Yeah. How are you feeling about this? Do you feel like you have a pretty good shot to do some damage here?
Well, yesterday was the shot put competition. It didn't go super well, but I've got a discus competition tomorrow, so I'm super pumped about that.
Do you feel better about the discus throw than you do the shot put?
Yeah, I'm ranked a little bit higher than that. So,
do you ever carry discuses with you, like when you fly? And do they always go, sir, what is this weighted thing in your bag?
Yeah, yesterday we were flying American Airlines on Monday from Memphis to Jacksonville. One of the bags is like 72 pounds, and they're like, why in the world is this bag so heavy? And then we pulled it out, and, you know, when they see like 16-pound metal balls, they're like, what in the world are these?
Yeah, I would think that would
PSA
be a weird thing.
PSA doesn't understand.
Well, listen, good luck. I mean, we were talking about the show, but I'm wishing you all the best of luck now, Adam.
I appreciate that.
The crap out of that disc, and if you do pretty well, let us know. If you don't, you don't have to call us back. You don't have to call us back and be like, well, it wasn't my day. But, man, we'd love to talk to you if you do pretty well.
Absolutely, man. Well, I appreciate you guys.
There he is, Adam, who watched the show. And, Adam, do you recommend that the listeners of this show watch my TV show? You can say no.
No, absolutely. I do. It was a good show. Recommend it. 10 out of 10. Would watch again.
10 out of 10.
Wow.
Would watch again. That's probably right. With a friend. Even getting Ben. I don't know. What? He's rhyming. He's just rhyming. Yeah. All right, Adam. Appreciate you, bud. Have a good track meet.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Dylan Scott.
Dylan, how are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
I mean, he's got a deep voice. He's jacked.
Hey, it's allergy season.
No.
I don't know. It's like, is this his morning voice or is he always this deep?
But no, his songs are deep, too.
I don't know.
I mean, you are testosterone filled, huh?
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't look. It's just part of it.
Jeez. Back in the day, because a lot of folks have jobs as they're trying to make it in country music, and I'm sure you did too, right? You moved to town, had jobs.
Yeah, I mean, well, not actually in town. No, I had jobs before I moved to town. When I moved to town, I looked up and I had a record deal before I moved to town.
How did you manage that?
My dad was in the business back in the day. He lived here, wanted to be an artist. Ended up playing with guys like Freddie Fender on the road. And they're like, wasted days and wasted nights.
Yeah, we know Freddie Fender.
Yeah. So he did all that. So my dad growing up, he would bring me back and forth to Nashville and I met certain people. And honestly, dude, I lucked up. I met the right people. And, signed with Curb.
What were you doing before you got it? And my point was, I mean, you had to be doing something like teaching people how to do push-ups or like something, because you're just a monster.
No, I'm not a monster, man. I'm only like 5'10". But, no, I mean, I worked little odds and ends jobs, summer jobs. I've done construction. I did work at a gym.
You did?
I was not a personal trainer, but I worked at the gym. But when I moved to town, I was just writing music and luckily had a pub deal that helped me pay my bills.
Amy used to work at a gym.
I did. I worked the front desk at Gold's.
That's what I did, the front desk.
Really?
Yeah.
Welcome to Gold's.
Made smoothies and stuff.
Don't forget to keep your thing. Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
Bastrop, Louisiana. And probably never heard of it.
What's it near?
Monroe.
Okay, then I know where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, being from Arkansas, we'd go all up and down Louisiana playing baseball mostly.
That's right.
Were you a sports guy? Did you play sports at all?
I played basketball till my junior year of high school till I realized I was not going to get any taller. So I thought I better just hang it up and stick to music. So
His name's Dylan Scott. I'm for sure you've heard his massive songs on the radio. I feel like now is the time where people are going to start recognizing who you are, like by seeing you, right? That's the hard thing as a dude in country music, because there are a lot of folks out there putting out music.
Yeah.
And so you have to have kind of two or three big songs for people to go, oh, that's that guy. Otherwise, you're like, all right, I know that song from somewhere, but I think this new song you have, I think this is the one for you.
Man, I hope so. You know, this is it's everybody's dream that moves to town, right, to play music, but I've been blessed the past few years to have a couple of hits at the radio, you know, and so I'm on my third hit right now, which means a lot. So, you know, whether they recognize me or not, that's not really
what it's happening, about, though. You know? That is what it's about.
I just want a long career of just like playing music, you know, not having to go back to the front.
Nobody. That's the best song. I mean, that is your best song.
I appreciate it.
How'd you pick that one?
So, a lot of my writing, when I write a song, I'm not like, oh, this is a great song. Like, I'm pretty hard on my writing. And so I have to live with something 2 or 3 weeks and go, you know what? I can hear it. But with Nobody, it was not like that. We wrote on the back of the bus, and New York State. I knew from the moment we wrote it, it was going to be possibly one of my biggest songs, just because I wanted to write a simple love song. I mean, how simple does it get for nobody, 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 right? But the melody was so infectious, I knew, like, man, surely this is it, right?
It is it, because mostly I hear songs, I'm like, all right, whatever, another one. Just end so I can start talking on the radio. Yeah. But this, I was telling them on the show, I was like, man, when I hear that one, nobody, nobody, nobody. That's a good one, man.
Yeah, it doesn't help. It's like, you know, 2 minutes and 30 seconds either.
It does help. Because I try to hear a four-minute song. Like, give me 2.5 minutes and let's go.
Absolutely.
Mostly because I want to talk again on the radio. I was watching your Instagram story. If I remember correctly, your kids were in the car and you were listening to the radio and nobody was on. You guys were all singing it. Yeah. What do your kids think about you being, you know, a guy they can hear on the radio?
My daughter, she's a year and a half. She doesn't quite understand it yet, but my son, he's so musically inclined. He loves it. He thinks it's the coolest thing when I come on the radio. I don't think he understands yet, like, oh, it's the radio and dad's coming on, but he belts it out, man. I mean, he's a little musician in the making.
Do you want him? Because your dad was a musician.
Right.
Would you like him to pursue music if he wanted to?
My parents never pushed me to do music. Obviously, my parents, they were like, hey, you do what you want to do. And since I want to do music, they backed me 100%. That's kind of the way I am, you know. If Beckett, that's my son's name, if he wants to do music, I'm behind him 100%. But it's really anything he wants to do, I'm behind him 100%.
I want you to play a little bit for us. You got your guitar. Yeah. What if you brought his guitar and I didn't make him play? He just sat there with it for two segments. Let's do a little bit of My Girl.
A little bit of My Girl?
Yeah, was this your first number one?
My Girl, yes, it was my first number one. Kind of got everything rolling for us.
Here is Dylan Scott, and this is a little verse and chorus of My Girl.
She looks so pretty with her makeup on. You should hear talking to her mama on the phone. I love it when she raps to an Eminem song. That's my girl. Man, her eyes really drive me crazy. Used to see a smile when she holds a baby. Well, I can honestly say that she saved me, my girl. Yeah, that's my girl in the passenger seat. Wind is down, dancing around, causing a scene. That's my girl sipping Crown and Sprite. And a ball cap turned back. Ooh, she got me like, yeah, baby girl, you're gonna done it again. Making all the guys wishing you were with them. But I bet they don't see what I see when I see my
Come on, Dylan Scott.
Yeah.
Hey, that's great, man. I bet it's cool, too, when you're playing live shows and you finally get a hit and you can play something that people can sing back to that's not a cover.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody asked me the other day, like, what's it feel like to be on stage, somebody hearing your song? Like, man, I've never done drugs and I don't drink a lot. So, I mean, I would imagine it's something along the lines of doing that. But it's a great feeling, dude.
So that went number one. And then you put out Hooked. And that song has massive success, too. That's number one, right?
It went to number two.
Boo!
I'm going to make this joke right now. My manager's in the other room. Give me the finger. So, not the finger.
She's
this
pointing
finger.
At you.
Give
yeah.
me this finger. So, can I say this? Can I say it, Carrie? I'm going to say it. It went to number two. I got beat out by Luke Bryan on a two-week number one, who Carrie also manages. So,
never heard of him. His career is never going to go. Yeah.
By the way, right now, we're pushing for another number one with Nobody, and I have another Luke I have to get around, which is Luke's Cole. So I'm getting Luked right now, man.
It only went to number two. I thought it was a number one. It felt like a number one.
And that's what matters right there. I tell everybody it's number one.
You could have lied to me, and I've been like, yep, told you guys.
Yeah.
All right, play us a little bit of Hooked.
Yeah, sure.
Here's Dylan Scott live in studio.
It was a Friday night, no cover, but the cover band was sounding right. And there you were, just flirty, dancing by the neon sign. To Fishing in the Dark, you were reeling in my heart. Now look at where we are. I'm hooked. switched on. Kissing you, getting you turned on. Buzzing and loving on you all night long. Like a hit song on the radio, you already know the way it goes. All it took was a look and I was hooked on. The way that you're taking my shirt off and running my fingers through your long blonde hair falling in your eyes like the first time they called mine. All it took was a look and I was hooked.
Nice job. Yeah. Wow, look at you. You know, I was talking to Amy and I was like, Dylan Scott's never been on the show before.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I think he's been in because we played him a lot. And I was like, I don't think he has. You're the final judge here. Have you been on the show?
I've never been here.
I told you.
And I've been waiting 3 years.
Scuba Steve just sent me a text because I was perplexed by it. And he said, hey, you probably see him every day driving to work because there's a banner on Music Row with his face
that's
on
right,
it.
That's right, your
my
face.
My big old mug.
Yeah,
on Music
and
Row,
so
yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. I'm like, no, he's been in. But maybe it's because I drive by you every day. Yeah.
You're going first out with time. Luke on tour?
We're going with Luke Bryan on tour. Yeah, proud to be right here, tour. It's going to be, after the past year, all of us artists have been just, you know, us in general, of no touring, coming back to the biggest tour of my life, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. He's a fair, watch out. He sometimes gets a little handsy, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Watch out for that guy. Dylan Scott, you guys can follow him on Instagram, Dylan Scott Country. I'll say it again, your new song, Nobody, Nobody, Nobody. That's it, man.
Appreciate it.
If that's not number one, I quit. Yeah, that's right.
No, don't say
I'm
that.
Saying it right now. I quit this job.
It's going to be a tough week.
Dylan, congratulations.
Thank you.
There he is, Dylan Scott. First time ever on the show, and he nailed it.
It's time for the good news
with Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A 6-year-old from California who was diagnosed with leukemia in 2017 had a dream to be a UPS driver. Thanks to Make-A-Wish, UPS, and the community of Stockton, Mateo's wish became a reality, even in the middle of a pandemic. It was his first big adventure outdoors since being diagnosed in 2017. Think about that. 4 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Because of that, he wasn't able to go outside. And so in order to protect his immune system, he had to stay inside forever, like the 4 years there. But he would always watch the delivery drivers. Think about that. That's what you see. Mm-hmm. UPS always showing up in the big, fun brown truck. Mm-hmm. And he was like, dang, I really want to do that. So after weeks and weeks of planning by all those groups, he got his very own uniform for a 6-year-old, a small uniform, and a mini UPS truck, and he got to drive it around. And I say mini, it's like 4 feet tall.
Ooh.
And you get in it, like they made him a truck.
That's
and
cool.
It drives. It was awesome. And so the police chief came out and gave him a driver's test in that.
Oh, cool.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
He passed. He hit the road. And then he drove his customized truck alongside UPS Dave in the big truck and took him to deliver packages in the neighborhood. How awesome is that?
Just what can the brown do for you?
Crazy. That is just an amazing story. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
How was the dentist?
It was amazing because I got laughing gas for the first time.
Yeah, I get it every time.
Oh, well, I don't know. He was having to do some stuff where he needed to numb it up. And he's like, hey, also last time my jaw was open for a little bit and it was really, I wasn't relaxed. So it hurt. So he's like, how about I give you a little whatever up your nose and then it'll help you relax. And I was like, okay. And I went in there, honestly, like a little bit stressed out in the moment from other stuff. And man, I'll tell you what.
Tell me what, girl.
That is the best I have felt
in
9 months. Not going to lie, I have to go back today for something totally different. I don't think he's
going
to do that.
Amy's going to get her hair done. Hey, can I get some laughing gas?
I don't think he's going to end up needing to do that, but I might be like, you know, my jaw's a little tight.
I have such a fear of needles that when I go now, my dentist knows you got to gas them every time. And it just relaxes me. I've never been drunk, obviously, and I don't smoke anything, so I don't know that feeling. But man, when you get lit up on laughing gas.
Lit up.
Yeah.
How long does it last?
They have to hit me pretty hard.
Oh, see, I don't know that I got hit hard because mine wore off. I was able to drive.
Usually I have to hang around for a half hour or so after.
Oh, wow.
I have no tolerance for the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, and then he's like, Dennis, like, we can't let you leave right now. So I have to go sit in the lobby and just be like, hey.
You're hitting on everyone in there. Like, hey.
Hey, you ever seen a tooth like this? But it's pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah, no, it is crazy.
I always get embarrassed because I start telling dumb stuff. I start laughing and I want to act like I'm not being affected by it. And then I start talking and I'm like, oh, I'm talking.
But they have a weird way of knowing what you're saying, even though they have your mouth all messed up.
Yeah, because they're probably used to having to figure it out all this time.
So what'd you do after the dentist?
Well, then I had a choir concert for my daughter, but half my mouth was numb. And I decided to drink water for whatever reason. And they were in the middle of a song. And the water, I don't know, I was trying to be extra cautious because I couldn't feel the bottle on my mouth. And then somehow I started choking. And I was coughing so loud, like I thought I was going to have to get up and leave the room. I thought this might be it. This is how I'm going to go out. I'm going to die at the car concert choking on water. Because then you're trying to like really be quiet about your choking because they're in the middle of a performance and everyone else is being quiet. So all those things just made it so much worse. But I survived. I'm here now.
Did they look at you like, hey, lady, what's going on here?
Oh, people around. Yeah. For sure. They were like, what is wrong with that
girl? Let me get started. Your mouth was so numb. Mm-hmm. You were pouring water in, so you couldn't really gauge where the water was. Then you start choking in the middle of your daughter singing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that happened. And then I was that person in the middle of the performance. Like, it was at a church. Quiet. Everyone's sitting there watching them sing. Uh-huh. And then... So, anyway, that was my dentist moment.
What's happening with your mouth?
I just had some issues where I have to get some stuff replaced and done, and it's very, very, very uncomfortable. My bite, I've been grinding and my teeth crack. Like, it just hasn't been a good situation. Probably because I wasn't always wearing my mouth guard. Super hot, I know. But
I get a mouth guard like 3 times. I wear it for like a couple weeks and I lose it, and then I don't go back for another one. All my back teeth, I grind to cracks as well. Mm. They have tiny cracks in them.
Yeah.
Apparently, I sleep and I go, I just grind.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm. No, jaw area, like I went to my dermatologist type person, and she was like, your jaws are looking really big.
And been working them out.
Yes, and they are like a muscle. When you grind them and you work out, they can get bigger and smaller. So she's like, you need to relax that a little bit, and they'll go back down. But she noticed some more definition in my jawline from my grinding.
I wonder if you went to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
If some of those, you know, workout guys come up to me like, hey, nice jaw.
Yeah.
Man, that jaw looks good.
You want any supplements for that jawline?
Yeah. No, for me, it's not the part I want to grow, so I'm trying to calm it down.
It's time for the easiest trivia game of all the trivia games. It's called Easy Trivia, where the show is competing for the magical tiara.
Oh, yeah.
Lunchbox and Morgan, two have 3 points. Eddie and Amy have 2 points as they play to five. Now, you'll answer the first question. Nobody's out the first round. Tell us something we don't know about you. All right, up first is Amy. Amy, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing good. I, recently bought a tabletop puzzle board for my kitchen counter, and I highly recommend it to anybody. It came with sorting drawers as well, which made it easy, but here's the thing. When you're doing puzzles at your kitchen table, you also need to eat there, but this allows you to pick it up and move it to any room in the house.
The table.
The tabletop. The tabletop puzzle sorter thingy.
There you go. All right. Amy, your question is, usually we leave with the question, but Amy just fired right into
that. Sorry, I thought I was supposed to tell something about myself.
In the song Peaches, does Justin Bieber get his peaches from?
Oh, he gets his peaches down in Georgia.
That's correct. All right. Oh, by the way, there's Amy, everybody.
Yeah.
All right, going over to Lunchbox. Lunchbox, what color is the Starbucks logo?
Green.
That is correct. Nice job. Lunchbox, tell us a little something about yourself.
Look, some of you guys don't know about me. When I see a house being built, I like to stop the car, get out, and I walk around the floor plan to see, maybe if I ever want to build a house, I get ideas, you know, because it's not boarded up, so you might as well walk in someone else's house.
Might as well.
Might as well.
All right, there he is. Lunchbox, everybody. Eddie, how many dwarves are there in the movie Snow White?
7 dwarfs.
There are 7 dwarfs.
Yeah.
Eddie, tell us something about yourself.
This goes perfect right now because my voice, I'm dealing with allergies. Guys, as a kid, I had to get allergy injections every week.
You had to get shots?
From 7 years old all the way to 13 in the back of my arms.
Wow,
crazy.
Wow, wow. Did you hate going to the doctor?
Well, after a while, it's just part of my life. No problem.
Dang, there he is. Eddie, everywhere. All right, Morgan. No one misses, right?
Hopefully.
Well, even if you do, you stay in. What's the Aloha state?
Hawaii.
Hawaii is correct. Yeah. That's a nice job. Or as they would say on Mama's Family, Hawaii.
Did they?
Yes. Morgan, tell us something about you.
2 fun facts. I hate roller coasters. The stomach, the feeling in your stomach when you drop, hate it. We'll never go on them. Second, I have 2 middle names. My name is Morgan Lane Nicole.
Morgan Lane Nicole, both middle names. When, what's Lane and Nicole after?
My mom and dad couldn't decide on my name, so they each got 1 name, and then they chose on the name that would be my first name.
So they settled on your first name,
yep.
But they picked a different middle name.
Yeah, my mom's was Lane, my dad's was Nicole.
All right, there you go. There she is, Morgan Lane Nicole, everybody. All right, now if you miss it, you're out of here. The one sound you don't want to hear is this.
You've been boned.
Nobody wants me to bone you.
It's not good. What?
Yes. No, I don't.
Amy, are you ready?
Ready.
Heinz is most famous for what condiment?
Ketchup.
Correct. Easy trivia. Let's stay in the food category. Lunchbox, what insect would you find on a Honey Nut Cheerios box?
Oh, it's a bee.
That is correct. Nice job. Eddie, what kind of factory do Willy Wonka have?
A chocolate one.
That is correct. Morgan, the United States is part of what continent?
North America.
That is correct. Look at all you guys going to round number three. Good job. Amy, who is the host of Wheel of Fortune?
Pat Sajak.
Correct. Lunchbox, which Italian city is famous for its Leaning Tower?
Oh, I know this one. That's the only Italian city I know. Pisa.
Correct.
The only Italian city he knows?
Can you name another one?
Rome.
Oh, I thought that was in France. I wouldn't have got that.
Eddie, how many legs does a spider have?
Ooh. This is common knowledge.
Yes.
Listen, we find the easiest trivia questions. Sometimes if they don't fall in your lane, you guys get all mad at me.
I think that's where we're at right now.
But I think this is pretty easy.
Spider. One, two. I'm drawing a picture of a spider.
Okay.
Let's go with six legs.
Oh, six legs is wrong.
That is crazy. It's eight.
I thought like a third grader knew that.
Think about it. An ant has six.
I didn't know that either.
What? Would you say an ant has four?
I have no idea how many ant has.
Do you know a spider had?
Yeah, I did know that one.
Maybe because I took entomology. I don't know.
All right, give it to me, Bob.
You've been boned.
Sorry, Eddie.
Wow, that's kind of good for us, though. He's out. He was ahead.
No.
No, I was tied with you.
Yeah,
It was Lunchbox?
And Morgan.
Oh, okay.
You got to come through. Morgan, what planet is nearest to the sun?
Come on. Oh, man.
What planet is nearest to the sun? Easy trivia.
Well, your guys' song, isn't it like my energetic? That's the only part I got.
Big fan, huh?
Yeah. No, I just really suck at the solar system. Well, there's like Mars and Earth. I mean, is it? No, because if we're closest, then we would die. So Mars, Moon. It's the Moon.
Is the first planet?
Is the Moon? No, the Moon's not a planet. Mars. No, the Moon. I don't know.
Do you want Mars or Moon?
Oh no! Is the Moon considered a planet? I don't know. Oh man. And the Moon is a planet. Is it a planet? The Moon. No, Mars. 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 I'm going with Mars.
She's going with Mars. Well, the song is "My Very Energetic Mother Just Served Us Nine Pizzas."
So it is an M.
So it's an M. An M Mars, but that's the mother. My is Mercury. Mercury is the first planet. I'm sorry, Morgan.
Dang. Mercury wasn't even in my head.
I feel like I just watched someone.
It was awesome.
And I was sitting here thinking, please stick with these two. Please stick with these two. Because I thought if she thought long enough, she'd think of Mercury.
I mean, she was breaking her back over a wrong answer.
I wanted her to say Moon so bad.
Well, she did for a second. Moon! No.
I really hate the whole solar system. So bad at it.
We're down to two players here. It's Amy and Lunchbox. But before we go to the next round, Morgan, here it is.
I deserve it.
You've been boned.
Amy, you have to win or Lunchbox is only one away from
you. Come on, Amy.
I know.
Amy, which Tasmanian marsupial is known for its temper?
What? I don't even know what you're talking about
think
right
about
now.
Think about it, Amy. Think.
Which Tasmanian marsupial is known for its temper?
Tasmanian devil?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what a marsupial is.
I don't know. I thought that was some sort of trick question.
Lunchbox, a pharaoh is the title given to the rulers of what ancient country?
Oh, it's Greece.
I just won.
Let's go.
I just won.
Greece pharaohs.
Amy's face when he said Greece, she was like,
"What country?"
The Greek pharaohs, Bones, you know that.
Oh. You've been boned.
It is Egypt. King Tut.
I don't know who that is.
Wow.
I don't know why Eddie laughs. He missed six legs
that's
on a spider.
Eddie's an idiot.
Hey, Egypt. Yeah. I don't even know where Egypt is.
Eddie's an idiot.
I don't know what a pharaoh
it's just
is.
Just south of Kansas, man.
I thought that was Greek mythology.
Well, it is not.
Remember, pharaoh,
Oh. Amy, you are the winner of Easy Trivia. Okay. There she is. I'll roll you through five more real quick. See if you got them all, okay?
Okay.
What color is Yoda in Star Wars?
I wouldn't have got this one, but brown?
No, you would have missed that one.
What is he, gray?
No,
green. Purple?
Green.
Green.
Yeah.
Oh, the cute little green dude.
Yes.
Why was I was picturing Chewbacca.
We'd all laughed at you like you did them, just so you know. What state's called the Golden State?
California?
Correct. In 1997, James Cameron won an Oscar for which blockbuster movie?
Titanic.
Correct. How many colors are there in a rainbow?
Seven.
Correct. What's the Earth's largest continent?
Asia.
Correct.
Wow.
Good one. Havana is the capital of what country?
Havana, Cuba.
Correct. And finally, what's the capital city of Spain?
Madrid.
Nice.
Wow.
Okay, so.
You get Madrid, but you miss Yoda's color?
Well, because I don't watch Star Wars. And yeah, I guess now that I'm picturing him, he's green. But I literally was picturing the hairy thing. So that's why I thought
Chewbacca.
Brown.
Chewbacca. Yeah. Yeah. I don't watch Star Wars either.
But
there she
is,
our winner, Amy, everybody. Nice job. Easy Trivia champion.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Manitoba, Canada. A man was in line at the coffee shop when a guy tapped him on his shoulder. Hey, you want to buy me a cup of coffee? The guy said no. So the guy punched him in the face.
Oh, wow. What do we learn from this?
Buy him a cup of coffee.
Yeah, get the coffee.
Is that what we learned?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I learned.
You might get punched.
Don't want to get punched.
Or if somebody random taps you, get out of town. Like, dodge. Yeah, that stinks. So what happened to him?
Oh, police were called and he was arrested for assault.
Man, just to get punched in the face randomly, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
I've never been punched. Have you?
In the face?
Yeah.
No. I've been hit hard in the face accidentally. Like taking an elbow to the face, playing ball or... But never had an... I don't want to say this because someone's going to do it then. I'm going to be out somewhere and they're going to... I get punched every Tuesday, Amy. Thank you for asking. And I actually enjoy it.
You have frogged me in the arm. What's that called?
I have?
When?
Yes, on air. Like, oh, don't act like that wasn't what we did about 15 years ago.
Okay, I don't remember 15 years
oh,
ago.
Oh, yeah. We were very immature.
I apologize for who I used
and
to be.
And Bobby would be like, coming up next break, we're going to hit each other in the arm.
Wow, that's good radio, guys.
Hey, well, it got us here, Eddie.
It was, Eddie, actually, because it hurt really bad, and we would scream and put it on.
We used to do the dumbest bits, where I would take a ball, like a... Not a harder version of wiffle ball and a plastic bat, and I'd be in a radio studio with all this breakable stuff, and I'd go, all right, after the break, I'm just going to hit this ball as hard as I can in the studio and see if anything breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd toss it up and whack and nail it, and sometimes stuff would break, sometimes it wouldn't, and we'd be like, all right, here's a song from Justin Bieber. But then that's also a bonehead story. All right, is that it, Lunchbox?
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
What's going on with you this weekend?
I'm headed to Texas right after this. I'm flying to San Antonio, and then... We'll go to Dilley tomorrow and have my dad's funeral, and then gonna go to Austin too for a little bit, and then I'll come back.
Now, this is not how a traditional funeral works, because we would have went to your dad's funeral if after he died he had a funeral,
mm-hmm.
right? Is this like some sort of gathering weeks
yeah,
after?
I mean, he died on April 1st, so yeah, it's definitely been a long time, but I think it was like we just had a lot to figure out and coordinate. He was here in Nashville, and then... Yeah, the cremation process, and then our family scattered about, and so we knew he wanted to do it in Dilley, Texas. So we just had to all pick a weekend where everyone could get there. So his obituary went up this week in the Austin American Statesman, which made it like really official, I think, for us. And then you know, it'll be our final goodbyes. We're going to a Mexican restaurant in Dilley afterwards to have margaritas and Mexican food. That's what he would have wanted, and then. But it is a small, intimate thing.
I was going to ask, are you upset at me for not going? I didn't even really know about it.
I know. I don't think I wanted to. It's also happened in still such a weird time. I feel like now we're in travel mode-ish a little bit, but still in April, it still felt COVID-y-ish. And, you know, I don't know how people are doing that sort of thing. And now things feel much more open, even just, almost 2 months later. So it's very different. So I think when we were planning it, I didn't want to put that pressure on anybody to have to travel to Dilley. Shout out Dilley, even though it's awesome. We have a lot of listeners in South Texas. Like, I realized that.
Now Amy's making up to Dilley real quick. Oh, No, Dilley's great. No.
Where do you fly into there, San Antonio?
I fly into San Antonio in the drive, but you can drive from Austin too. But no, not at all. I know y'all would want to go, but I didn't want to put that pressure. So I didn't really. And we had changed the weekend a few times. So that's why I don't feel anything. You'll be there in spirit, right?
If you want me to be there in spirit, sure, I'll be anywhere. I mean, spirit. And heck, right now, I'm in Chicago in spirit. Hold on, I just changed. I'm in Paris in spirit now. See, that's pretty easy to do. Kaylin has her first wedding shower this weekend. So we're leaving today. I'm going to do, I'm like co-hosting entertainment tonight, today, or something.
Wow, that's cool.
I should know more.
Like
co-hosting
through the computer?
With who?
Like
no,
in person.
I go to some set. I'm not sure.
Wow,
I'm not sure.
I like can tell.
ET.
Yeah.
Dang, dude, that's cool.
I'm not sure. I did Kelly Clarkson's show yesterday.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
How was that?
Good. It's virtual. I didn't go to LA, but I don't know. I don't know. But I'm doing that. I don't know when it airs. I don't know anything about it. And then we go to Oklahoma right after that. And Kaylin has a wedding shower tomorrow, and I'm gonna go play golf with her dad and my future brother-in-law.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then come back. It'll be good. So, will you be there in spirit?
I will.
Yes.
Thank you.
You guys have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. I'll see you Tuesday. Monday we'll be playing a show, a best of show, because we're on Memorial Day. We're taking the day off. But you can watch Breaking Bobby Bones Monday night. All right. Goodbye, friends.
Get your Bobby Bones on.